On this morning, sermon will be brought to us by Brother John Cooper, and our sermon reference text will be Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And we'll begin our reading at verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visual was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandments was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and thy houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the providence of Babylon. Brother John Cooper, not fearing the fire.
Let the church say, man, let the church say, amen, let the church say, amen, amen, amen.
Good morning, God's people. Again, it's another glorious time to be in front of God's people to bring God's holy and righteous word. I just cannot do more by thanking God first before anything I say or do. Amen. And I hope you do the same. God is so good. He started this morning's worship by saving a lost soul. Amen. Sister Taylor, God is good. Welcome to the Church of Christ. And there's no other way to start his day by bringing a lost soul out of this world. Amen. For those who may be visiting with us, this is the Church of Christ, the only church that you will see in the Holy and Righteous Bible. Amen. I thank God for allowing you, guiding you as visitors to be here to hear his holy and righteous word. If you hear something or see something today, we encourage you to ask questions at the end of our service, and we will give you a Bible answer. Amen. On this day, fifth Sunday, it's usually our youth Sunday, where our young people, you see, witness, lead the services. And every fifth Sunday, they are so encouraging, leading, because they get better and better at doing the Lord's work. Amen. And this morning's message, I thank Brother Thomas for reading, came from my young people coming into the New Year's. They done a skit, and the skit was about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So this morning's message is not only for our young people, but it's for our visitors, it's for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Message, not fearing the fire. And again, I thank Brother Thomas for reading the scriptures. And I just ask that you follow along with me this morning through God's scriptures of Daniel 3, 19 verses 30. I'm going to touch on 3 points this morning, and I promise I will be done. Amen. The first point is God's people are persecuted people. The second point is God's people are preserved people. And then our last point here is God's people are promoted people. Amen. This is one of those chapters in the Bible that we all have been hearing since we were small children in Sunday school, vacation, Bible school. It is one of those passages that we think we know inside and out, upside down, forward, and backwards. It's one of those passages that we often neglect in our search for a deeper truth in the Bible. Even though many of us have traveled a long way down the road of life, there are still some valuable lessons to be gleaned from the familiar stories of the Bible. I want us to look at these precious verses this morning, because I find help here. I find that there is help for those who may be enduring some trials these days. I find there is help for all of us, because we live in a world that is becoming increasingly unfriendly toward God. Jesus Christ, the Bible, and us as Christians. I want to travel back in time to ancient Babylon, to the kingdom that was also unfriendly towards God and his ways. I want to look in on three men with backbones of steel who would not bend, bow, or burn. I want to watch them as they endure their furnace of afflictions. I want to learn us to learn not fearing the fire. There are three simple lessons in this passage that I'll explore this morning. I shared them with you in my introduction. The first, God's people are persecuted people. Nebuchadnezzar reached in anger to the stand taken by three Hebrew boys and determined to destroy them in the fiery furnace. He orders them to bound up and cast into the furnace heated some seven times hotter than it was normally heated. The fire is so hot, it slays the men who toss them into the fire. Now, I know we heard this in a story before, but think about something so hot that those who are trying to persecute you are burned in the flames, their own flames that they're trying to put you in. Why is there all this anger leveled at these men? The reasons for the king's actions are given when we look early in the chapter, in that verses 9 through 18. You can read it on your own time. But looking at the people, they are persecuted because of their standards, these three young men. The golden image set up by Nebuchadnezzar in the comment attached to these verses, when you look at verses 1 through 7, it would appear that either Nebuchadnezzar has set up an image of his favorite god, or more likely he has set up an image for himself. Either way, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow to that image. Their faith in God would not allow them to stoop at the same level as the pagans around them. In other words, their standards and manner of life made them different from the others around them that day. Christians should have different standards of living from the world around them every day. 2 Corinthians 6:17 and Colossians 3:1-2. You can read it on your own, but God has scriptures to interpretate the scriptures. Amen. They are persecuted because of their Savior. When you look at verse 13 to 15 in Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar gives them a second chance. He knows why these boys are refusing to bow, and he mocks the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in verse 15. He implies that he, Nebuchadnezzar, is more powerful than the God they have served. He demands that they bow to his will instead of the will of God. The believer should walk in total submission to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be totally sold out to him and his will. He is to have first place in our lives. Listen to the Lord's own standards. Matthew 10:37 through 38 and Luke 14, 26 through 27. You can read it on your own terms. But getting back to Daniel, they are persecuted because of their sin. Even when threatening with a horrible death, these men refuse to bend or bow. They take their stand in spite of personal cost. The true believer should square his shoulders and take his stand for Jesus. We are to be totally committed to him. Amen. Here is what we need to get a hold of today. If we are going to live for Jesus in this world, if we are going to be his alone, if we are going to refuse to let the world squeeze us into its mold, then we are going to suffer persecution. That is what the Bible teaches us, brothers and sisters. 2 Timothy 3 and 12. 1 Peter 4 and 12. Here is the bottom line, my brothers and sisters. If you and I are going to live godly, we are going to live for Jesus, then we are going to be persecuted. There will be furnaces of circumstances, furnaces of intimidation, furnaces of hatred, furnaces of temptation, furnaces of trials like you cannot even imagine. That is just the way it is. The furnaces of life, especially the furnaces of persecution, are not fun. However, they are all good to us. Why? The furnaces of life exist to help us become more like Jesus. Just as gold and silver are placed in a furnace and are purified through the process, through the persecution, has the potential to remove the dust, from our lives. Amen. But know this, when the Lord has sent you through a small furnace and seen big results, he will place you in a greater furnace somewhere down the road where you or I may be saying, it's going to get worse. Look at what the Lord has told Jeremiah when Jeremiah came to God, sort of whining because people didn't receive him as his message. That's in Jeremiah 12 and 5. God was basically saying to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, if you think it is bad now, you just stick with me and realize that the things are about to get a whole lot worse. It's not much of an encouragement, is it? What we have to understand is that this world cannot understand the Christian. We are totally mystery to the lost people of this world. They cannot understand the way we live, the things we do, or love that we have for our God. Our lives bother them, and they are convicted by the holiness in the life of a believer. Their natural reaction is to persecute the believer and attempt to get us to behave like them. If you are going to live for Jesus, you will be persecuted. Some of you are there today.
If so, there is hope and help in God's holy and righteous word. Amen. Second point, God's people are preserved people. God's people are preserved people. The three Hebrews are cast into the fire, but the amazing thing happens, instead of dying in the flames, they are loosened from their bonds and are walking around in the flames. Nebuchadnezzar cannot believe his eyes and commands them to come out of the flames, which they do. But when they come out, they are totally unharmed by the violence of the flames. Notice how these amazing preservations took place. They were preserved by an ever-present God. Amen. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the flames, they found that they were not alone. The God they had professed faith in earlier met them in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar and the others with him could not believe their eyes. They threw three young boys in the flame, and now there are four loose walking around. Did you hear me, brothers and sisters and visitors? They threw three young boys in the flame. But when they looked, they seen four, not hollering, not screaming in agony, not in pain, not trying to get out, but they were walking with Jesus. What might have happened there that day? Here there is a lesson for you and for me. Even in the furnace of Babylon, God kept his promise to his people. My friends, we have the same promise today. When the flames arise around you or I, open your eyes, for Jesus is right there with us. Notice what happened, because the Lord met them in the flames. The Lord met them in the flames. When he met them in the flames, remember, they were tied up when they were thrown in. When they were in the flames, they were bond free. All the fire did is burn away the things that had bound them up. The Lord used the fire to loosen these three young boys from the ropes that has held them. When the fire of persecution and afflictions come into your life, you need to remember this truth. The Lord is merely freeing you from some things that have had you bound up in your life. As the flames burned away the ropes of besetting of sins, bad attitudes, bad habits, you will find that you are freer in the fire than that you were freer outside the fire. You hear what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? I'll say it one more time. as the flames burn away the ropes of that's besetting your sins, bad attitudes, bad habits, you will find that you are freer in the fire than you were outside the fire. Amen. They were fine in the fire. We are told that they have no hurt. The fire did not kill them. It didn't even burn them. God allowed them to go through the fire, but he did not allow the fire to go through them. Again, there's a powerful truth here for those who might be walking around in the fiery furnace. The furnace may be frightening, but you were not brought to it for destruction, but for growth. God did not allow it for your hurt, but for your good. Even though the flames may come, they will only free you from what binds you. You will find in the fire, because there will be one with you every inch of the way. He will not leave you. He will preserve you through the fire, and he will keep you in his glory. Amen. By the way, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire, only three sent into the furnace. Again, when Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace, he saw four of them walking around. When Nebuchadnezzar called the men, "Come out of that fire," which is in verse 26, only three came out. What happened to the fourth? Well, he is still in the furnace. So when you go there, you will find him waiting for you. He will look at your flames and say, "Cool it." The three Hebrew boys were preserved by the presence of God, and you will too. Amen. Preserved by an all-powerful God. When those Hebrew boys came out of the furnace, they were inspected by Nebuchadnezzar, and his men were told that not a hair was singed. There was no soot on them. They did not even smell like smoke. Can you see them sniffing at these young brothers? What a miracle. You can't even walk into a convenience store today where people are smoking without getting a smell of cigarette smoke on your clothes. But the power of God operated in this situation and overcame the furnace totally. Amen. That's just God. When he does something, he does it all the way. When he heals completely. When he saves completely. When he forgives, brothers and sisters, visitors, he forgives. He forgives you completely. Whatever he does it all the way. How? He is all powerful. He is able to use the power in your life and minds. So when you find yourself looking in a fiery furnace, remember that you serve an all-powerful God who is able to keep you in the times of affliction and who is able to bring you through his glory. Our last point. God's people are promoted people. God's people are promoted people. When we look at verses 28 through 30 in Daniel, it focuses on how God's people are promoted people. Everyone there that day came away with a greater understanding of who God was and what God could do. Amen. Going in, the three Hebrew boys did not know what God would do for them. In verse 17. But they trusted him anyway. Nebuchadnezzar thought that he was more powerful than God, than the God that they serve. In verse 15. In the end, they all learned that God was greater than the king and greater than the furnace of the fire. Notice what happened when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were delivered from the furnace. Verse 29, I'm focusing on. God's person is praised. An old pagan king exalts the name of the true God because of what he saw with his eyes. God do for his people in the furnace. Nebuchadnezzar sees things differently. God used this horrible moment in the lives of those three Hebrew boys, believers, to touch the hard heart of the lost. The heathen king. You never know what God will do with the afflictions in your life. As we pass through the furnaces of life, leaning on the grace of God to sustain, is it may be God using those moments in your life and mind for those moments that hurt so much to show the lost world that he is God. He can help you and I. That it is why we have to submit to the furnaces of life, trusting God's grace to be sufficient. God's people are promoted because they are faithful to the Lord. They pass through the furnace. On the other side, they are promoted in the kingdom. Note, there is a lesson in this for us all. It is a true lesson, but it is a lesson that we may not like to think about. God never really uses anyone in a great way until he first takes the person through the furnace of afflictions. See, you cannot stand on Mount Carmel in power until you side on a dry brook of humility. Being humble is hard. This, looking at another story in the Bible, the battle of Ai. Some of you are familiar with. God just put this on my heart. I think that's going to be your next message on Youth Sunday. But the battle of Ai. Where Joshua was going into battle, and he gathered up thousands of men. And God was saying, you don't need that many. And he kept breaking them down where they only had 300. The point is on this, They had 300 that fought against thousands, and they conquered them. But the way the world is, there's a movie out called 300. When those 300 went to battle, all of them what? They died. And everyone thought that was a biblical story. But in the Bible, when that 300 went to battle, they all survived. The conclusion here is, if you are passing through a furnace today, at this time today, let me encourage you to cling to the Lord. He is with you in what you face, and He has a plan to bring you through what you face. Amen. God has a plan for you to bring you through that place. When He brings you to that place, do not take credit. Give Him all of the glory. See, because you still might need Him when you walk through another furnace. I am here to encourage. I am here to plead with you to give your life to Jesus. Jesus have you here today. He has a plan for each and every one of us. One is a plan of salvation. If you are in that fire today, if you want to get through that fire, go with God's plan. Let me tell you what His plan is. One is to hear His word. Did you hear the message in Daniel this morning, which is in John 6:45? Then you must believe in what you hear, which is in Hebrews 11:6. And then you repent of your sins, and God will forgive you of all of those sins, which is in Luke 13:3. And then you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Matthew 10:32. And then the final step, which you've seen this morning. God have you witness, Sister Taylor. Be baptized in water, which is in Acts 2:38. Now, if you're already a Christian and you haven't been living your life according to God's word, God is so good. He's given you this hour, this moment, this great grand opportunity to get it right. To come with a repentant heart and ask for His forgiveness, and He will forgive you. Amen. God is so good. God is so great. And for the non-believer, once you follow His plans of salvation, He will do three things for you. First thing, He will give you the Holy Spirit to guide you for all of the fiery furnaces, trials, whatever you go through. He will forgive you of all your sins. He doesn't care what those sins were. He will forgive you of all your sins. And then lastly, He will add you to that church. Amen. That church that is in the Bible. The church of Christ. Amen. If you want to be put on Christ, we ask that you come to the front. And if you have not been living your life for God, we ask you to come to the front as we sing the song of invitation.